This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
And I thought, something has to give. Like, it can't just be them. I was a third grade teacher. Kids hold a mirror up to you and they show you all of the beautiful parts of you and also all the things that you're not interested in looking at. And I thought, what would happen if I basically chilled out? Would their behavior change?
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the delightful Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
Today, we're talking about one of our favorite topics, which is self-care and how you can prioritize yourself, because that is why we are here for you and No Guilt Mom, to be a happier parent by prioritizing you. And before we really get into it, Bree, we always have a favor to ask of everyone listening.
We would love, love, love for you to, you know, just wander on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Rate and review. Share.
Yes, it helps us get all of the goodness that we want for you to have in your life, this no guilt, this no shame, out to as many women as possible. So please rate and review us. It really does help us in the algorithm of Apple Podcasts. And without further ado, we want to introduce you to Tammy Hackbarth. She is a life and work coach. She's a fair play facilitator, a speaker, and host of the 100% Guilt-Free Self-Care Podcast, which prior to this interview, 30 minutes before, I had just finished an interview for that podcast. So go and listen to that. She's also the author of the book, The Essential Guide to 100% Guilt-Free Self-Care, and creator of the group coaching experience, Deferred Maintenance. She helps women get their time and energy back so they can create the world they want to live in. We hope you enjoy our conversation with Tammy.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
We're totally in an interesting situation in this interview because I just got off talking with Tammy for an hour and a half for your podcast, Tammy. So tell us, you are all about self-care, which we definitely promote here at the No Guilt Mom podcast. How did you get into teaching about self-care?
I needed self-care.
Yeah, that's usually it, right?
Yeah. 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 It's like you teach what you need. I changed careers 3 times. I started in politics. I moved to teaching and now I'm a coach. And the one thing that my first 2 careers had in common is that I was in a pattern of overwork, collapse, burnout, sort of recover, and then come back and do it all over again and wonder why I felt terrible and was having a hard time, like making progress in my goals and keeping my house clean and feeling good in my life. And when I became a teacher, I was like, I love this job. I want to be happy in this job. Like, how can I feel fulfilled and happy? And I will say, I didn't come to this completely by myself. I went to my principal one time to ask for some advice about something in my classroom. And he walked behind the desk behind me, closed the door, and he came back around and he said, are you happy being a teacher? And I, you guys, I burst into ugly tears and was like, of course I'm not happy. That's why I'm here.
Right? It's like that question you don't want to hear because you know you don't want to have to say the answer.
You don't want to have to change anything.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I did. I was a little insulted. I will admit it. And so I took this as a personal challenge to sort of fix my life in the way that what would happen if I did all those things that are recommended, what in my life would change, if anything? Because I was like, I wasn't convinced that sleeping well, eating well, meditating, moving my body made that much difference because I had never been consistent before. Mm-hmm. So after that gentle call in from my principal, I decided to dedicate the rest of the school year, and that was in November, so I like had a long runway, to making dinner, connecting with friends, meditating, actually making it to yoga class without, you know, getting a speeding ticket on the way there.
Being rushed on the way to yoga. Yes, that's a great way to start the yoga practice. Yeah.
Exactly. You're like, I'm going to make it there. And what I discovered was in that year, I had a particularly rough class. Like, whoa, they were a tough nut to crack as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I thought, something has to give. Like, it can't just be them. I was a third grade teacher. Kids hold a mirror up to you and they show you all of the beautiful parts of you and also all the things that you're not interested in looking at. And I thought, what would happen if I basically chilled out? Would their behavior change? Would I feel better at work? So I took on this, you know, basically school year long experiment. And what I discovered was that everything changed. My relationship at home changed. My spouse was like, wow, you're a lot happier. My relationship with my students changed. Like, I couldn't believe how much my behavior was affecting their behavior. The relationship I had with my body changed. And I thought, oh my God, if everyone did this, we could change so much in the world.
Oh, okay. So I have so many questions for you, Tammy, and I can already see where this is going. This is going to be the how to F and chill out episode because I think we all need this. And it's so funny because at the end of my interview with you, you asked me what is the one thing that I'm still working on. And I'm like, well, I need to relax.
So we all need to.
We all do. We were also talking about Enneagrams, and I want to bring up Enneagrams again because in the short little half hour break that we had, by the way, go listen to my interview on Tammy's podcast. We'll have a link for you in the show notes. Tammy, you said you were a one.
Yes.
Which is the perfectionist.
Yes.
And I went back to the book I use, The Road Back to You, the Enneagram Journey. That's how I figured it out. I believe I share your Enneagram of a one because I am looking at it. And I am like, I beat myself up when I make mistakes. I don't feel comfortable when I try to relax. There is too much to be done. I don't like it when people ignore or break the rules, like when the person in the fast lane at the grocery store has more items than allowed. I am like that when people are disturbing other people's efficiency. I can't take it. I can't take it. It's hard for me to let go of resentment. If I say it, I'll do it. Like all of these things, I'm like, whoa. And one of the things you also said to me is to look at the Enneagram and to see like how it comes out in terms of stress, like what you don't want to do. And so I looked at that and I'm like, here's the Enneagram. It's stress-free. And you'll be like, okay, that's good. Stress. In stress, ones instinctively take on the not so great qualities we expect to see in unhealthy fours. Their inner critic begins working overtime and their need to perfect the world goes into overdrive. They become more resentful of others having fun, more sensitive of criticism, and depressed. And I was like, whoa, I'm a one, Tammy. And I don't know if anyone listening can see that they're a one as well. But I felt that was so enlightening.
So funny, right? So, and when I shared that with, when I found out, I it was really like the last 5 years that I found out about the Enneagram, and I am by no means an expert. I do have a 10-part series on the Enneagram on my podcast. You can go check it out, where we discuss the good, the bad, the ugly, and the self-care prescription for each Enneagram type.
Interesting.
But when I presented this information to my family, both my daughter and my husband went, oh my God, it's not going to change.
Oh. Oh, crap. That's like a personality trait that's there.
Exactly. And then my daughter said, have they been following you around when you're in a bad that's mood, so mama? Funny. Do they write it all down? Yes. That's how I felt too. I was like, oh, I feel deeply, deeply uncomfortable in how I'm being seen here. And so that's what it made me really realize. There's a lot of things in my control in what I do in my daily life that can make me, quite frankly, easier to be around. It can make me a better parent. It can make me a better teacher. It can make me a better coach. It could make me want to hang out with myself, right? And a lot of it comes back to practicing self-compassion, deep self-care. And one of my mantras over and over is, let it not be perfect. Just let it not be perfect. Like, you don't have to fight every fight. You don't have to get an A+ in life in every aspect.
And also, I think it's so important to be introspective and know exactly how you are and how you react to conversations. In that, and I know how much people love being self-prescribed. I know what you
okay,
are.
Well, okay, so let me back this up. So before we started the episode, Joanne prefaced me with, do you know which one you are? And I'm like, I don't. And I'm like, it's so crazy. I totally will be like, I know I'm a Libra, but I don't know my number. So what do you think my number is?
I think you're a 2. Okay. I think you're a helper.
Okay, that sounds right. I think I am a helper.
Number one that they say, when it comes to taking care of others, I don't know how or when to say no. I am a great listener, and I remember the stories that make up people's lives. I am anxious to overcome misunderstandings in a relationship. It seems like people who love me should already know what I need. I am more comfortable giving than receiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like my home to feel like a safe and welcoming place for my family and others. Yeah. Like, your home is beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful. But here are the stress ones. So this is the thing that Tammy turned me on to, is like, you can really see it in terms of stress.
It's a shadow side.
It's your shadow.
It's the shadow side. It's this part where you're like, don't tell anyone my secrets. Here's my vulnerabilities.
Twos in stress become demanding and controlling, either directly or manipulatively. They blame other people for what makes them unhappy and can be surprisingly aggressive and vengeful about past wrongs.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. But you know that. Like, when I am really stressed out, I think I have to say I'm sorry more than anything else, because I'm constantly like, yeah.
But twos are the helpers and the welcomers and the taker carers and the everything. And it's so interesting.
And that is so funny. Mm-hmm. Very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
What? For what? Like, your stress versus
right.
your.
I feel like. What do you think, Tammy? What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, no, legit. Because I was telling Joanne earlier, if you look at just the good traits, we can all see ourselves in these, like, when we've had enough water, when we've had enough sleep, we've had enough sex, when we've had enough energy and exercise and we've fed ourselves well, we can all feel really good about things, right? We can see the good traits in all the numbers. But when you look at how we decompose when we're under stress, when we're sick, when we have too much on our plate, when we just got the third call from the principal because your kid is...
sick again and you have to pick them up to go home.
Or thought that they could leave campus for lunch when they're not allowed to. I don't know where that happened. Who knows?
Come on. Yeah, all of these things. It's so you ratchet your number down and you start looking at this is where you feel like you can become more unique in it's how your particular brand of person falls apart. And my kind of person gets real rigid. It's like I have a real mean grandma, German grandma in my head. I'm going to take us all down a few pegs. And we are going to redo everything until it is done right, as defined by me.
Yes. And one is also called the perfectionist. So we are going to get into exactly what to do right after this. Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, Tammy, we kind of wanted to go about this episode with, you know, how to chill the F out, because we all need it. So what is one of the first things you did when you started that experiment into changing how you related to everybody?
One of the first things I did, honestly, was I'm a questioner. I want to know why things. I want to see if it works for me. I want to test the theories to see if they're BS or not. So I was like, okay, what would happen if I moved my body more often than not? Say 4 times a week rather than 3 times a week. What would happen if I did the meditation a few minutes a day? What would happen if I fed myself things that were not Twizzlers?
Red vines for me.
Yeah, from my drawer in my desk. What would happen if I spent time laughing with friends? And again, what I found was like, what would happen if I took a moment to think about all the things that are going well in my life, things that would bring me 1 to 3% more joy a day? So when you're a teacher, I don't know if anybody had this experience. We all had this experience in 2020 when we're like, who are these children and why are they at my dining room table? And why are they asking me stuff that I haven't thought about since I was in grade school? They need to knock it off. I don't know. I don't know how to diagram your sentence, honey.
No.
But imagine that you're with kids that do not belong to you all day long. And you are charged with not only their academic learning, but helping them develop who they are as people. It can be really exhausting, right? So at the end of every day, I would sit in my classroom and I would look around and say, what brought me 1% joy today?
That's something that I'm trying right now too. So I totally identify that. And how did it go for you?
On some days, it would be like the really, really small things, like, oh, thank goodness there's still tissue.
Yeah.
I don't have to splash out money for tissue. Oh, look, my sharpened pencil bouquet is still available. Yay, I don't have to sharpen pencils today. Oh, they cleaned up around the floor in their area. Yeah. Oh, and then I could look at their work that I had put up. They had completed work. They were showing growth as students. I could look at their little empty chairs and imagine the groups that are doing great teamwork to work together to make sure that everybody in their group is getting what they need. And mm-hmm. I could be like, I taught them that. I could look, you know what I mean? And it was like, in those moments, I realized, wow, I have never, ever been asked to celebrate the progress towards a goal. Mm-hmm. I've only been sort of lauded for reaching my goals. But really what we do mostly is once we get near our goal, if we ever get near a goal, instead of celebrating that milestone, we just move the goalposts further down.
Yep.
So we are left with this feeling of dissatisfaction, like we're never quite there. We're never quite enough. We aren't doing enough. We aren't enough as people. And being well rested, being well hydrated, having some mindfulness practices in my life, and having, and that goes with also the noticing the 1% joys.
Yeah.
I was like, this is actually not a terrible life, what I'm doing here.
No, there's two things in there that I really want to dig into. The first thing, let's talk about these 1% joys, because I'm reading this book right now by Gabby Bernstein called Super Attractor. And it's all one of the chapters I was reading actually last night when I am having all of these feelings of anger and like going inward on myself because of this personal situation happening. She's like, go full in on appreciation when you feel those moments. Like, write in your journal like 5 pages of everything you appreciate and everything that's okay. And in that moment, when I am so raging mad, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to go to appreciation. And I'm here in the bathroom. And I'm like, I like the feel of the tile underneath my feet. I am comfy in this sweater right now and like how it like halfway covers my arms, because that's very rare as a tall person to get sleeves like this. And you have to go so granular. And it seems like it doesn't make a difference, but it did make a difference and helped raise me just a little bit, just a tiny bit out of the anger.
To me, it's like a jackpot like gratitude when the end of the day I can be like, nobody yelled. We didn't have any fights in the house. But some days you don't get that. And that seems mm-hmm. so granular and small, but it isn't. And then you, like you just said, you have to come up with something else. I didn't get indigestion after dinner.
I like how this sweater makes me look slim. I don't know, whatever it's it is, cute. Right? Like,
no, but it's all true, right? But sometimes, so I have ratcheted this noticing practice up even more. Every day I ask myself 3 to 5 things I'm mm-hmm. thankful for. I write down 3 things I did well the day before, because I do this all. I see the sunrise literally every single day of the year. Doesn't matter. I am awake at the crack of dawn. I like to wake the birds up. I know.
Joanne,
you're welcome. I'll take the first shift.
Yeah, that's what I say too. I'm like, I will wake up early, but if you ask me to stay up later, I'm slangry.
Every vacation. Yeah. We should get up and watch the sunrise. Never mind. No.
But so I write down things that I did well the day before. And Bree, sometimes is I didn't react to my child.
Right.
Because previously I would have reacted to my child, and now I haven't. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I also take my gratitude out into the world by I write Yelp reviews for good service. Yeah. I send friends messages saying you really helped me with this small thing that was really significant. I try to write some sort of appreciation to my spouse every day.
Oh, like via text or like how do you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. I just text them. I'm like, hey, thanks for making sure that we had sourdough. Our kid is going through this weird toast situation where she wants to get toast 24 hours a day. And so we never have bread unless my husband's like, I'll stop by and I got 2 things of sourdough. I'm like, me too. And he's like, where are we going to hide the bread?
I could tell you what happens at the end of that, because my daughter went through a toast phase and then we get on this habit of buying bread. And so now we're still in that habit. She's out of the toast phase. Bread is molding in our pantry. Like I have to dig it out and be like,
Yeah. But the thing, though, is these practices, they seem small, they seem insignificant, but our brain, it doesn't know if we're experiencing something in real time or if we're reliving it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell your brain, the other thing is for 2 minutes every day, I write down something great in like as much detail as I can, because it's like adding to the greatest hits of your life. And your brain's like, oh my God, I love this story. This is right. So great. Love it. Yeah. And we also do family meetings every week and we start with compliments. So we have to compliment each other.
I should make my kids start doing that with each other, honestly. Honestly, we need to bring that back.
Right? It changes things. It I did that change. When I was yeah. a teacher.
Yes. The compliments, like, and it's so hard though with kids because they will end up doing some backhanded compliments that you're like, oh, let's talk about what a compliment is.
Well, first, it's a learned skill, right? You're like,
you get these things. They're like, you're not as mean as you were yesterday. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. Oh, you're not as ugly today as you were yesterday. Like, guys.
That's when you know you got teens in yeah. the house.
That's when you know you got teens. Yeah. So appreciation is so huge. And we're going to get into the rest of the tips when we come back.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Okay, so what is another tip, Tammy, that really helped you get calmer and get happier when you did this experiment?
Everyone hates this one, but it is exercise. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, but I don't want to, or I'm too busy, or I'm this, I'm that. And Joanne and I had a like fangirl moment when we were talking about the book Burnout.
Mm-hmm. Free knows my fangirl about burnout.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to let everyone know, I'll be the bad guy. If there's one activity that can change your mental health, your outlook, how your body like physically does things, it's movement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if we change it from this is a punishment or if this is a have to into the idea, like I'm completing a stress cycle, I'm getting out of a stress debt, I'm elongating my life, it can change your relationship to movement. Also, so I was telling Joanne earlier too, I interviewed 100 women about self-care in 2016, because I was like, I think I might be talking about something different than other people are. So I'm going to take a little temperature check. And when I asked people, where could your self-care be improved? What needs some massaging? What needs some help? 100% of respondents said, exercise. Mm-hmm. I need to go to the gym more. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And I thought, oh my God, exercise has terrible PR.
It does, because exercise is associated with body image, which is very different than what we're saying right here, like especially for women.
Exactly. It's really associated mm-hmm. with diet mm-hmm. culture, and we can never live up to this ideal of no one lives up to that ideal because it doesn't really exist. So, but if we change it from we're trying to control how our body looks to it managing how our body feels now and in the future.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing. And I agree. I fell off the exercise wagon during Christmas and the holidays. Things got too stressful. And I was like, forget this. This needs to go off my plate right now. But I noticed that everything just started hurting. You know, like my elbow started hurting, like my hips started hurting, everything started hurting. And so I just went back 2 weeks ago to strength training again, just videos in my house here. And it is amazing how fast you can see progress when you focus just on how your body feels and movement. Like I was stretching and I'm like, ooh, this is a lot tighter than I remember it being. And now just like a week or so into it, these pains that I was experiencing, they're gone. And my stretching has improved so much. And there's something to be said about how you feel in your body is really how you act everywhere else. If you are comfortable in your body, you have more of an impact on the rest of the world because you're not so focused on how you feel. You're more focused on how you can make other people feel and the impact that you have.
Well, absolutely. And if you want to do this as an experiment for yourself, say next time you have a disagreement with your child, instead of deciding in that moment, oh, I'm going to fix this, meaning I'm going to fix you, little kid who's doing the thing wrong. If you take a step back and you go do without saying a word, say, I need to go let off some steam, and you go move your body. You don't have to change your clothes. You take a walk, do some jumping jacks, get on your exercise bike, whatever. Just do 20 minutes. Let your mind do what it's going to do. And re-engage with the kid 20 minutes after you've had some exercise, I bet that outcome and that interaction will be completely different.
It'll be a little less, oh, yeah, for sure.
A little less aggressive, a little less angry.
A little less intense.
Well, here's the story. It wasn't about me, actually. It was my daughter. Because she asked me last night, she's like, Mom, have you worked out yet? And I'm like, nope, I haven't worked out yet. And she's like, oh, could I work out with you? I'm like, yep, sure. And so my plan was to come home and work out immediately. Her plan was to put all of her laundry in the washer, change into the perfect set of gym clothes, and have me wait for her to do the workout.
Sounds about right.
And so I was like, and these plans weren't communicated at all. And so I started the workout and I like gave her 5 minutes and then I gave her 2 minutes and I'm like, okay, I'm starting. And she stopped in and she's like, I don't know why you can't just wait for me, and started doing the workout. And we did a whole 30-minute workout. And at the end, it was a little less intense. She was still pissed off at me and refused to talk to me. But I mean, that is commitment for you right there of a team.
That is commitment to you are wrong and I am right.
It was like, I dug in.
Yes, it's commitment. But yeah, it helped her a little bit. And with me, I was able to handle her anger. I'll be like, okay, you're going to get over this. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, right? Because there's not so much of that pent up. Because like, I think, while I do need to work on that area, and I know that, like moving my body more and everything, I think that like you can physically feel all that in your body. And I think that at the end of a good session of whatever it is, yoga, walking, dancing, running, whatever, you do feel less of that pent up, whatever it is, we'll call it energy, stuck inside you. And when it's not already full to the brim, there's room then for other things to come in and for it not to make you explode.
Exactly. And I have to say, even when I was at school, I called it screwing our lids on correctly. Like I would take my students out and we would run a couple laps before we came into the classroom.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I was like, hi, I don't know what y'all had for breakfast. I don't know who you're mad at from the bus. I don't know anything about your life before you were standing in this line waiting for me. So let's have this moment out here in nature, as much as nature you can have as a school ground. But like, we're going to be outside. We're going to move our bodies together. And when we come back inside, it'll be like the great reset button. So we can get started off on the right foot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's
a great thing to do.
I think honestly, like every school day should begin with an outdoor recess or something, because kids, they have that energy to be let out. I mean, I'm not even going to get on my soapbox about society and the society we live in now and how like our kids don't get enough time to like be out and about anymore. But I think that's excellent. I could imagine that would have really helped. Yeah,
definitely. Well, Tammy, what is coming up for you that you're really excited about?
I got certified as a Fair Play facilitator last spring. Y'all, I am helping families redistribute the mental load, the domestic labor, and people are discovering these big pockets of time where they're like, oh, if I'm not in charge of every single thing at my house, I do have time to exercise. Oh, I do have time to hang out with my friends. Oh, I am going to go away with my friends for the weekend. Oh, I am going to take that painting class, that dance class, all of these things. And so I'm helping people see their time differently. I'm helping people see their relationships differently. I'm helping them realize that their kids are way more capable mm-hmm. of doing chores and being responsible for themselves at a much, much, much younger age. And also allowing our spouses to be full players in our households so that they too feel an ownership of being in their kids' lives, being in their spouse's lives, and they're not some sort of guest in their own home. And I've just seen so many clients go from feeling overwhelmed with everything that they have to do mm-hmm. to seeing that they're empowering their family to step up into this confidence and leadership. And it just is like families connecting, and it feels really good.
That is awesome. That's awesome. Well, we have a link to Tammy and her podcast right below. And thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us here. It has been a pleasure, and I will chill the F out. Self-care is such a fraught word, I feel. Like it's almost
fraught? Like, what do you mean?
Like, it's one more thing we have to do. Do you ever feel like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just, it's another thing where at the end of the day, when you're beating yourself up because you didn't do things the way that you would have liked the day to go, or you're mm-hmm. tired or you're sad, or you're starting to feel sick, and you're just like, man, I should really take better care of myself. I suck.
Do you like notice how much like self-sabotage goes into it? Because when she was listing her things of the things that she does every day, like list five things of gratitude, list three things of thankfulness, I've tried that before, and I end up beating myself up when I don't do it, you know, and then it becomes a way that I'm feeling bad and a way I'm measuring myself versus the way I'm making myself feel better. And I'm just like, when does this all end? Like, brains are funny.
Yeah, I would say it's the eternal struggle of a mom, of a woman.
Of a person. Maybe it's like of a woman. Okay, because I had this other thought while I was walking today. Because, you know, one of the things in self-care is connectedness mm-hmm. and, you know, making friendships, which like I did last year with this Margarita Monday thing, yeah. inviting neighbors over to my house and everything. And then one of my things that I do is I'm like, I'm putting in all this work. Why don't other people do this too? Like, this is my self-talk doing it. It's very not great. But I was like, why don't other people have things? And so this Friday, there is a Galentine's event in my neighborhood Ooh. That I was invited to.
Fun!
But do you know the first thing that popped in my head?
What?
Oh, they made a mistake. They didn't mean to invite me.
Oh, no.
Isn't that crazy? Like, it's crazy, but I think a lot of people feel this way. Like, they'll see the invitation, be like, no, they don't really want me there. They're just being nice. They're just being nice, and it would be much better for everyone if I just stay home and not cause the awkwardness.
Oh,
isn't that horrible?
That's not good. But I was going to say, like, I hear you on the whole. It takes a lot of effort to keep these things going. And yeah. I think that you talked about, too, in the podcast episode, how, like, you had a stressful time around the holidays, and so you cut the exercising because you needed something to take off your plate. And I think a lot of times we cut what we think is going to be an easy cut, and we don't really take that, let's actually stop and list out the reasons why I'm cutting it and what are the possible bad sides of it, because we cut mm-hmm. out the gratitude. We cut out the hanging out with friends. We have, like, just to throw that out there, I immediately started thinking about how we have a group of moms that we were hanging out with quite a bit, like you and I were a part of. And then it kind of shifted, you know, post-COVID. And then we got in this thing, like, for a little while where we were, like, planning stuff. And then it just kind of fell apart. If there mm-hmm. wasn't somebody planning all of it, everything just sort of fell apart. And now I can't even tell you the last time I saw half of those gals.
No. Yeah.
So it's funny how sometimes the things that we take off because we think it's easy to take off our plate ends up causing more things to fall apart.
You're right. You're absolutely right with that, because it's like the social support and connection. That's what you rely on in terms of stress.
Right. And you think you don't need it, but you do.
You do need it. I mean, like yesterday when I went through my emotional breakdown, the first thing I thought of was like, I'm going to call Brie. I need to like really, really like to go down this thing, because it's too much life sometimes to process on your own. And you really need your social support to help you. Else you end up lashing out at people who don't deserve it because you didn't have somebody to bounce things off of before they came out of your mouth.
Which is everybody all the time. Like
is everybody all the time. Yeah.
So like you got to give yourself grace on it. But yes. So like hopefully everybody was listening to this episode and you found some good ways to chill the F out because,
yes,
yeah, Joey and I can tell you, man, 2024 has been a hell of a year so far. And we're like, how far into it?
We're not
even, we're not even done with the first quarter.
It's going to go better. It's going to go better. If you're listening to this right now, by the way, have you bought your retreat ticket yet? That is one thing that you can do for your self-care is to go out somewhere on your own where you know it's going to be a positive and loving experience and people are going to lift you up. That is the No Guilt Mom Retreat. And we have a link for you in the show notes for that. So please come and join us in Phoenix. We can hug you in person. We can talk to you in person. You become a part of the No Guilt Mom family forever when we meet you in person.
And you get to enjoy all the funness that we create in our heads. I mean, Friday night party at a garden. It's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Massages and drinks and food and fun and party yoga. I can't.
Party yoga.
Like all the things we have planned, it's going to be freaking phenomenal. So
it's going to be the best weekend. So that link is in the show notes. And until next time, remember, best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.